And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Bill Frank. Did you know that there's a trait common to all creative people? Whether it's Steve Jobs, Pablo Picasso, George Lucas, Thomas Edison, or Henry Ford, they all share one thing. They're highly emotional about what they create. My next guest explores the connection between creativity and emotion and provides different ways to help others reestablish their inner creativity. We'll discuss the implications of what this means for the individual and society in general from his book titled The Book of Doing and Being. Barnett Bain is an award-winning motion picture producer and director, a radio broadcaster, and creativity expert. His film credits include the Academy Award winner What Dreams May Come, Primetime Emmy nominee Homeless to Harvard, The Celestine Prophecy, The Jesus Film, and The Lost and Found Family. Barnett is co-host of Cutting Edge Consciousness, a radio show and podcast series. Now he can add to his list of accomplishments author. His latest book is titled The Book of Doing and Being, Rediscovering Creativity in Life and Work. Welcome to the show, Barnett. How are you today?
Oh, I'm so glad to be here with you. It's great to see you.
Well, Barnett, it's wonderful to have you here. Great and very interesting book that you've written here as well. So I want to start, if we can, at maybe 30,000 feet and then drill our way down from there. And the 30,000-foot question is this. What problem is your book trying to solve?
Whoa, that's a... how much time do we have? So we are facing lots of challenges in our world. I know everyone that I know is facing all kinds of personal challenges, and our communities are facing challenges, our nation is facing challenges, our world is facing challenges. And many of these challenges, they show up as, they seem at least, to be problems that have no obvious solutions. And so we are not necessarily going to deal with many of these problems and many of these challenges out of the same mindset that has gotten us this far.
So, the old Albert Einstein theory of you can't solve today's problems with the same thinking that got you there?
That's absolutely true. You know, it's almost like you sail a ship into the bottle, and how are you going to sail it out of the bottle? It's going to require an entirely different set of calibrations to the world than what got us here. And so creativity has never, ever been more important. We have a love affair with the straight line and with sort of cognitive processes, and that is what got us here. But there are many other intelligences that we can turn to and that creative people understand and are intimate with, body intelligences and intuitive intelligences and musical intelligences. And there are many, as the poet said, I contain multitudes. That those are not to lose sight of logic and reason, but in addition to logic and reason. And so it is more important than ever that we develop an intimacy with innovation and creativity itself in order to meet the challenges of a world that is becoming new. Rather more of an answer than you thought you were going to get, I know.
Well, no, not at exactly at all. I want to get into some of the very specifics that you're talking about, but let's talk about it again for the individual, for society in general. Yes, we have these problems. We'll all acknowledge that. But how does being more creative actually lead us to greater personal satisfaction, greater enjoyment, greater fulfillment?
Well, you know, we lead our lives inside of something that I call a structured imagination. And by that, I'm referring to what we believe about things and what we decide about things, the choices we make, the attitudes, the decisions, the feelings, they are pretty much a short menu, and we return to these things over and over and over again, our same decisions and thoughts and beliefs and feelings and choices and attitudes. And when we begin to venture out into unfamiliar territory, our natural inclination is to track back to what we know. And so the process of creativity is largely the rearranging of that limited menu. And then occasionally we stumble upon something that is purely and truly innovative. And in that case, it is not a rearranging of the furniture that we know, but it's the introduction of something that is entirely not part of the system. It's disruptive. And so when we do that, we suddenly add to our palette of resources for expressing ourselves. And those are the kinds of disruptive innovations that lead to really every single invention that we've ever had on the planet has been a gift of something disruptive. You know, email is not simply FedEx, which is snail mail 2.0. It is something entirely new. And in our personal lives, when we have these kinds of disruptive, innovative gifts of creativity, we suddenly have a new resource with which to meet, to see another person, to be with another person, to allow ourselves to be seen by another person. We have new tools to engage in relationship. We are likely to be less triggered by familiar patterns that may set us off or set off others. So we gain a new perspective from which to meet the challenges of our personal lives as well as our community life.
Well, if all of these things are so important, and clearly I can see that they are, why is it then that more creativity isn't being taught at the school level, where it would be A, most readily received, and B, most influential and important?
Well, our schools have, unfortunately, have bought into the notion that education can be standardized. We hear it even in the language of standardized testing, that every human being and every child can be equipped with a one-size-fits-all factory educational experience. And that's simply not the case.
All right. Let me interrupt you there, Barnett, if I can, because, yes, we all see that. We all know that the education system per se is broken. But as you pointed out, all great innovations come out of left field. They come from creative disruption, as you put it. So why isn't somebody out there creatively disrupting schools and doing it maybe on a private school level or a charter school?
Well, they actually are. We see it happening all over the place. There is Khan Academy. There are all sorts of new and innovative responses to the traditional educational system. The traditional educational system is mired in the weight of its own
bureaucracy.
Size and bureaucracy, absolutely. And so the first thing to go are things that they consider luxuries. And those are, ironically, the very areas of interest that foster inquiry from the inside out, intuitive responses to life, arts programs, drama programs, music programs, crafts programs, woodwork programs. Because the system does not view these things as areas of interest that are immediately monetizable, they are considered to be of dubious value, and so they get room to side. But those are the capacities that make us human, that engage the heart. And the educational system prefers to work on the one intelligence alone, the cognitive intelligence, in the hopes that it will make us better at computational abilities and better at engineering abilities. And the irony is that when you leave behind the intuitive processes, our cognitive processes become brittle, and there is a ceiling to it. It's almost like speed bumps. You know, you can only go so fast and so far over a speed bump before it becomes a problem. And we are at that place in the educational system.
Education is a speed bump. My guest is Barnett Bain. He's the author of the new book, The Book of Doing and Being. Barnett, I want to kind of take you to a place that you may not want to revisit, but you write about it in the book. Mm-hmm. In the 2008 financial crisis, a lot of people have that reaction. You're not alone in that. How did you keep your sanity through that traumatic experience where you basically lost your life savings?
I'm really glad that you asked me that. I'm delighted to share that. And there are lots of people who are dealing today with all kinds of change and all sorts of chaos. Life just does not seem to be as certain or as predictable as once upon a time it was. And this is one of the reasons why I believe it is more important than ever to develop an intimacy with our own creativity, because creativity is, it provides a certain resilience in chaos. And increasingly, we are discovering that our world is chaotic. So back in 08, that was certainly chaotic. And what I did, this was the thing that made it sane for me, is that I wanted, threading back to, we just did this example that you invited me to share, the foot in the hand exercise to break old paradigms. Well, similar to that, we want to develop a capacity to train ourselves to have a different sort of neural activities, to train ourselves to move into the unknown. Now, my fear stories around 2008, I had all sorts of terrible stories about being what would become of us and losing our finances and where would we live and where would we go, all sorts of terrible stories. And those stories are familiar to me, but stories of possibility and stories of maybe something wonderful will emerge, those are less familiar. They're not as easy for me to go to because the stories, the negative, constricting, dire, gloomy stories, they were very familiar. And so I decided I would develop a capacity to entertain something between the darkest of my stories and the lightest of my stories. And so I imagined the worst possible outcome. And I had visions of myself being homeless and moving away from my house, not really knowing where I was going to go, and with my wife and my child, where we were going to go, and calling friends and asking for some help. And it was really a difficult, difficult story. And I called it up on the inner screen of my imagination, and I lived into it as deeply and as experientially as I could. And then I parked it to one side of the inner screen of my mind, and I called up the brightest, most exciting story. And that was a little harder. That's harder for most of us to do.
We're absolutely
more familiar with the icky stuff.
Well, we're trained to be that way. The news, everything else really
everything
focuses on negative.
Everything conspires to train us that. And so to train ourselves out of it, which is what this practice is about. And so I worked on a scenario something. And here's the wonderful part. I don't have to have an explanation of how I'm going to get there. So I had an image of myself having a really fabulous windfall and feeling comfortable and feeling secure and staying in my house. I could see myself in my house and I could feel comfortable knowing that I was supported in there and that I had enough income to reset myself and that I was on a track again for stability. And I lived into that story and I felt it as deeply as I could. And then I moved it, parked it to the right-hand side of my inner screen. So I had my worst nightmare and my brightest future both on opposite sides of my inner screen. And I went back and forth a couple times from one to the next. And it's important to do that. And then I went into the middle. And I imagined myself in the middle of those two scenarios without feeling either one. This one could happen and the other one could happen. But I was parked in the middle of it. And I found peace in that place. But more importantly, it developed in me a capacity to fluff up, to put some juice into my imagination that there could be possibilities unbeknownst to me that were synergies of that arose out of the darkest of my imaginings and the brightest of my imaginations. And also my neural maps began to develop brand new neural patterns of energy to reflect these ideas that were so out of the mainstream of what I'd experienced before. So that practice is what kept me sane through that. And it, there may well be those who ever in love with the straight line will push back and say, well, how do you know that? How do you know that that is what was part of the creative process that birthed solutions to that challenge? I don't know that, but I do know that the limited menu that I was operating from prior to that did not contain solutions from that channel. And creativity is unpredictable. We never understand a creative, innovative process. The intellect would have it that it's measurable and it's definable and it's discernible. And every artist understands that the creative impulse is received as a gift from aspects of ourselves or beyond that are unknown to us. And it is the cognitive ability that does the engineering, the drawing, turns on the lights in the morning of the business, drives the kids to school. It is the cognitive piece that puts it together. But the inspiration is a gift from something beyond and within.
My guest is Barnett Bain. He's the author of the new book, The Book of Doing and Being, Rediscovering Creativity in Love, Life, and Work. And Barnett, what one thing do you see differently now after having written the book? And did that one thing come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I finished the book and I read the final edited manuscript, I was surprised and I was comforted. Because although our works come through us and they carry much of our gifts, they carry our talents, they carry our personality, a creative act, whether it's the writing of the book or the raising of children or the conducting of a marriage, all of which are creative acts, they both carry our signature and they carry something beyond. They carry something more. And so I read the manuscript and I was surprised at how generous it was in comforting me, in taking some of my anxiety, reducing my anxiety about the unpredictability of life, and supporting my understanding that I had access to the resources to meet the challenges of life. It was a great comfort to me. And I turned to my wife and I said, it's really surprising because, you know, I have the vanity that says, well, I wrote this book. It should come as no surprise. But as a finished artifact, our creations have lives of their own. And they're generous and they give back to us. And the degree to which we can be changed by our own creations, the degree to which we can be changed by that is the degree to which we honor it and we're honored by it.
My guest has been Barnett Bain, author of the book, The Book of Doing and Being, Rediscovering Creativity in Life, Love, and Work. Barnett, if you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
I'd love to hear from you or just to have you drop by my website, and that is at www.barnettbain.com. One T, BarnettBain.com.
Barnett, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Such a pleasure. Thanks for having me.